So welcome, everyone. I wanted to share a few points of consciousness about everything that we're going through and give some tools and tips for success during this time. Every single person I've spoken to is going through a challenging time. Even people who have figured out how to make opportunity, to take advantage of the opportunity of this time, still are going through a difficult time in one way or another. This is affecting our relationships. This is affecting our businesses. This is affecting our financial situation. This is affecting our health. This is affecting our consciousness, our spirituality. And the Zohar actually talks about situations like this and what it means spiritually. So I wanted to first address what a time like this actually means. Turn to the side here. There's always two periods of time in our lives. There are times of what are called mercy and times of judgment. A time of mercy basically means that cause and effect is spread out. Cause and effect, from the moment I plant a seed, the effect of that seed takes a long time to manifest. And this is very good, especially for most people who are going through spiritual development. Because if I do something negative, I can't afford to have the repercussions of it right away. If all of us felt the effects of our negativity immediately, it would completely destroy us. So the Creator has created a world that there's mercy. Mercy means time, that there's time to change, that there's time to learn, that there's time to grow. So even though I do something negative, it doesn't mean that it has to affect me right away. It doesn't mean I get punished right away. It doesn't mean I go through something challenging right away. I have time. That's mercy. So mercy and time are the same thing. Whenever we see that cause and effect shrinks, this is a time of judgment. We are in a time of judgment. Cause and effect is shrinking. There's no time. There's no time to do anything. There's no time to buy food. There's no time to think. There's no time to go anywhere. There's no, even though it looks like we actually have more time because we have nothing to do in some ways, the truth is we don't have time. Everything is shrinking. Cause and effect is shrinking. What do you do in a time of judgment? What Satan wants a person to do, what the negative inclination wants the Satan to do in a time of judgment is to create more judgment. In these times, we actually have the free will more than ever to reveal the light of the Creator. And I'm going to talk about some practical tools we can use to reveal the light of the Creator based on what we've learned so far in Kabbalah, as well as some practical things that successful people who are non-Kabbalah students are using, so you can see how we can bridge these two worlds. Number one. The greatest tool to reveal mercy is certainty. Certainty beyond logic. A lot of us are familiar with certainty that is within logic. What is certainty within logic? Well, a month ago, if a person said, or 5 months ago, a person said to you, aren't you worried that there'll be a global disease pandemic that will take over the world, you say, no, I have certainty. I study Kabbalah. I have certainty. Nothing like that's going to happen because I have certainty. The truth is, that's certainty within logic because nothing's really happening. So of course you have certainty. Certainty beyond logic is when nothing is going your way in the physical world. In the physical world, nothing is indicating towards the result you want. And then you choose from deep within your soul to inject certainty. Certainty that even though this is bad, I know it comes from the Creator. And therefore, it must eventually put me in a better place than I was before. In a better place. So for most of us, it seems like we are definitely not in a better place, but that is essential. It's essential to, to be put in a position where it looks like we're not in a better place. Because how else could we choose through our free will to inject certainty? Certainty that I don't know where the money will come from. I don't know how I'm going to change the business. I don't know if there will be groceries next week. I don't know if this is going to be shut down or that's going to be shut down. I don't know if the people I love are going to be hurt. But I know that as long as I protect my consciousness, I don't let the virus called Satan into my consciousness, I will create miracles wherever I go, even if those miracles take time to manifest. Because certainty is mercy. Remember that. Certainty is mercy. So there's time involved, which means that when I have certainty about something, I'm also injecting time into the process because we love time. Time separates cause and effect. So by having certainty in tough times, I'm planting a positive seed. But I'm also, there's also going to be time before I experience that miracle. Because if every time I had certainty, something positive occurred, it would condition us to have certainty reactively, selfishly. It wouldn't be true certainty. True certainty is when nothing's going my way, and I say I have certainty in the light of the Creator, and then something again doesn't go my way. And then again, I say I have certainty. And then a third time, something doesn't go my way. That's usually the way I look at it. You need at least three certainties followed by something that doesn't work out your way to really see that it's real inside of you. Because if you're trying to have certainty just to get your way, that's not real. That's not authentic spirituality. That's not you becoming like the light. That's us taking the tools and wisdom and spirituality of this world and manipulating it because I want to be comfortable, right? Kabbalah taught me to have certainty and then all my problems are going to go away. So, okay, let's inject certainty so the pain can stop. Certainty is not so the pain can stop. Certainty is so that I transform my essence from doubts to certainty. That's the goal. When your goal is that you are a certain person, then the physical world starts to reward you. But if your goal of having certainty is so that the physical world rewards you, you are delaying your miracles. Does that make sense? Give me a thumbs up if that makes sense. Okay. I think somebody gave me the middle finger, but that's okay. So I'm joking. Nobody gave the middle finger. Just wanted to see you smile a little bit. So this is the thing we have to understand, because the physical world is so strong. It's so strong for all of us. We all get sucked into it, just sucking us into the, got to do this, got to do that, the details, fix the problem, fix the problem, fix the problem. It's got to fire. You got to figure this out. I remember, I fall into so many traps this week. Even last week, I remember, after we put the kids to bed, I told my wife, I'm going to the store to buy some stuff. It was like 8 o'clock at night. And she says to me, why are you going to the store? I'm like, because we need stuff and selling out. She says, are you going from fear? I think, you know, I didn't say anything. She's like, if you're going from fear, don't go. Stay home and let's just watch a show. So in an awakened my mind that we teach about it all the time, but reactive behavior is acting from fear. Even if you're doing something that you feel you must do, cannot walk out of that house, pick up that phone, do an action from fear. You cannot do that. So what I want us to do right now is, if you have something to write on or to type in your computer or your phone, I want you to write down what, because it's actually important to write it down because I want you to actually see it. I want you to write down the top three fears that you are experiencing that for you. And don't say general fears like, oh, the world is ending. I want you to actually go to, even if the world was ending, why is that a big deal for you? Like, what do you care if the world is ending? I want you to go into you, why you are scared. You, your top three fears that are related to you, okay? I'll give you about 45 seconds to do that. The reason why this time is powerful also, let's put all the results aside for a moment. Let's put the results of what we want to happen and the security we're all looking for. Because in this class tonight, we want to learn the powerful tools of planting seeds every second. Because the person who plants the most positive seeds is the person who will receive the most opportunity and blessings from the light of the Creator during this time. So look at your whole day as like a basket. 24 hours is a basket. And every minute you can plant or put in a spark of light in this basket. If the whole day were worried and upset or bothered or afraid, it means that by the end of the day, our basket is completely empty. And then when our soul goes up at night, when we sleep, this basket is taken to the Creator. And an empty basket means there are no blessings. It means that whatever problem physically we are in this world is farther from being resolved. It means less protection for our family, less protection for our kids, less protection for our parents. The greatest thing we can do for our community, for protection for people who we love, is that I'm filling my basket with positive sparks of light every minute of the day. I tell my 75-year-old dad he can't leave the house. That is practical advice, and I've told him that. But I also know that in my home, if I'm not revealing sparks of light through my consciousness, my dad loses his aura of protection. That's the bottom line, because especially if you are children, well, everyone's a child here in some way to someone, your parents' protection comes from you. So always it's the son or the daughter of the parent that creates the most protection for the parent through their spiritual work. Often it says that if a person cannot do spiritual work or has not done spiritual work their whole life, as long as they have a son or a daughter who is maintaining spiritual consciousness and elevating sparks of light every day, elevating, it's like you're digging, it's like you're mining. That's what it feels like, right? It's dark, it's dirty, and you're mining for a spark, mining for a diamond. That light goes to your parents and protects you. Protects them and protects you. That goes to your immediate circle of family and friends. So this is the second point, that time is a basket. And the question is, how many sparks of light are we placing in the basket all day? Because you can only reveal sparks of light when it's dark. When things are great and everything is going your way, you can only reveal maybe a couple sparks a day. When the whole day is going against you, when the stock market is going against you, when your suppliers are going against you, when your customers are going against you, when people who are close to you are agitating you and aggravating you all day long. Maybe your kids are forced to be home and it drives you crazy. Each moment can be a revelation of a spark of light. So I see that a lot of people write about their parents getting sick. That is the absolute best way. I can't even tell you. I know from my own family that I know that the spiritual work that I do makes a difference, without a doubt. There's a protection, some level of protection. Of course, everybody has their own tikkun, but we can put that extra layer of protection, the extra layer of immunity. Think about it. You're freaking out and you want to buy some vitamin C and send it to your dad. that vitamin C does nothing compared to what you do by waking up with even fake happiness. Fake happiness is also very spiritual and powerful. So that's point number two. Time is a basket. And we have to fill that basket with this many sparks. Because you know what? Eventually it's going to get good. And it's not going to be so dark. And everything turns around eventually. My teacher, Rav Berg, always said, pain, chaos, darkness is always temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. Nothing has ever lasted. It feels like it may last forever. Every painful thing feels like it's going to last forever. But he says it's just a blip across the screen. Eventually, it's going to be gone. And once the pain is gone, we're not going to have the same opportunity to reveal the sparks anymore. You can reveal more sparks in one day, one bad day like we're having, than 365 great days. It's crazy to think that way. Third tool, third concept. Everything in this world, according to Kabbalah, it all came from a spiritual story called Adam and Eve. Without getting into that whole biblical story, which is actually a spiritual story that has a metaphoric spiritual meaning to our lives today, it says that Adam and Eve represent all the souls of humanity. That's what they represent. And they made a spiritual mistake. They basically connected to energy that they shouldn't have connected to. They basically connected to it too soon, without restriction. And this is called the sin of Adam, without going into the details. Now, what did they do, essentially? They connected to what's called the tree of knowledge, good and bad. Good and bad. And it says that ever since they connected to this tree, it's a level of consciousness. A tree in the Bible, a tree means a level of consciousness. They connected to the tree of knowledge, good and evil, means that they connected to a consciousness where things are good and bad. And this is how the consciousness of most people are today, if you really realize it. It's either good or it's bad. It's good and it's bad. This is how we operate all day long. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's bad. So Adam and Eve, which represents the spark, the seed level of all our souls, what was their sin? That they decided to live in a reality called good and bad. The good is very good, and the bad is very bad. And that's the reality they chose to live in. As a result, all of humanity has been infected with that consciousness, good and bad. Not only that, everything in this world has two parts to it, a good part and a bad part. I have a good part and equally a bad part. This table has a good part and a bad part. How do I know? I could look at this table that my laptop is sitting on and say, well, this is a beautiful table. And my wife can come and say, such an ugly table. That's actually how it happened. I said, this is a beautiful table. And she said, that's an ugly table. Wow. Is it ugly or is it beautiful? Which one is it? There's an ugly side to the table and there's a beautiful side. There's two. I mean, think of most people. Half the nation loves president and half the nation hates our president. So who's correct? Both. There's a good side and there's a bad side, good and bad. Everything has a good and bad. In the time of Moses, part of the nation saw the good, the other part saw the bad. Every leader in the world, by the way, every spiritual leader, any type of leader, even the ones that are the worst leaders, there was always a group of people that saw the good and a group that saw the bad. So everything has good and bad in it. Okay, so what does that mean? Who cares? The reason why everything has good and bad is to, again, give us the free will of what we want to choose, good or bad. Once we make a choice which side we want, that side becomes alive. It grows like a tree that's blossoming, like a flower. It just grows. When I focus on the bad, or when I choose the bad, that grows. Now, everyone's saying, well, of course, who wants to focus on the bad? Let's just make the good tree grow. But that's the trap of the opponent. That's the trap of Satan. He's always making us focus on the bad, about people, about the economy, about situations I'm in currently. Oh, this is bad. I woke up this morning at 6 a.m. to a text that said, call me urgent, it's bad. That was the text. That's literally what the text said. Call me, it's urgent, it's bad. This is how people talk. This is how people it is. I mean, just this message has come across my screen. Oh, this is bad. Oh, just when I didn't think it could get more bad, it just got bad. So what's happening here? People are hearing things, seeing things, experiencing things in the physical world. All of them are just noise, visions, images. And then we have a choice. I know it looks like we don't have a choice, but we have a choice at that moment, a spiritual choice. What do I want to grow? Do I want to grow the good or the bad? Because there is both. I agree. It is bad, but it's also good. So which one do you, but I don't see the good. I don't see the good. That's the thing. That's where the free will comes in. When you learn spirituality, you learn it's not about what you see or what you hear. Because if all you did is reacted to what you see, saw, and heard in this world, you would be a failure. Successful people see what no one else sees. I'm talking to people, a lot of different successful people in different areas of life. And I don't just mean business. Moms who are considered to be successful. Like there are moms I look up to. There are dads I look up to. There are business owners I look up to. There are Kabbalah teachers I look up to. And I'm asking all of them, how are you handling having your kids at home? How are you handling your business? How are you handling your health? How are you handling? And all of them have one thing in common. They say, I'm looking for the opportunity. I'm adapting and I'm looking for the opportunity. And even though I don't know what the opportunity is and I can't see it, because I'm looking for it and I'm asking for it, it's revealing itself to me. We get excited about opportunity when opportunity first comes and then we get excited about it. What successful people are doing is they're saying, I see no opportunity, but I know that opportunity exists. I don't see it yet, but I demand that it become revealed. So what are they doing practically? They're getting all their employees together in a room and saying, okay, first, let's deal with the damage control. Second, 30 minutes, everyone talk about possible opportunities. Let's talk about it. And everyone just throws out ideas and things come up and whatever. Maybe they're all bad ideas, but the idea is you're making an effort into opportunity. If you are a business owner with one employee, no employees, or 1,000 employees, you all successful people that I've spoken to have already had that meeting with their entire team, not just what's the damage. They've had the proactive business meeting, which is how are we going to become industry leaders or community leaders in the next 3 to 6 months? While everyone is freaking out and suffering and whatever, and we are freaking out and suffering too, but simultaneously, we demand that the creator, the universe, show us, because it's all in your consciousness. If you want to see the opportunity, to see the good, it is there. You just have to choose it and you have to make physical effort in this world to reveal it. So for me, practically, it's about getting all my staff on a conference call and saying, I'm giving you 30 minutes that the creator will reveal through you what the opportunity is, because I don't see it yet. Maybe it's your family. You gather your family together and say, okay, how is this going to be an opportunity to make the family stronger, to get us closer? Because the fastest way to get out of judgment is mercy. We said that. Certainty is the best mercy. But you know what else is mercy? Transformation. Why is it in my movie? Looking at my tikkun. Families should get together and say, wow, what can we change and grow? How can we grow? How can we change? Businesses are getting together. How can we grow? How can we change? It's so powerful what the virus is doing. It's forcing everyone to do an auditing and a self-reflection. Everyone. There's not one person who's not reflecting and auditing themselves. It's crazy. That's how powerful this thing that is the size of a nano nothing can force the whole world to become somewhat spiritual by looking inside. And obviously the creator wants everybody to transform something. So if we don't listen, we just get stuck in the reality of the bad. Because when the stock market's going down, guess what? Somebody's making money. Somebody's making money when the stock market's going down, and somebody's making money when businesses are closed. I promise you that. And somebody's making money when there's no groceries. Somebody is thinking about the opportunity, and they don't even know what the opportunity is. They just know that there is one. And because they're certain that there is one, they draw it in their lives. So it's about what's your frequency? What's the frequency of the consciousness? So that's the next tool. That's the third tool. We live in a reality of good and bad. Is my consciousness opportunity consciousness? And am I taking steps to reveal it even though I don't see it right now? Or am I finding myself just focusing on the bad? And I want to read to you here from one such business coach that I was reading from, a successful business coach. And he did a study, and I found this to be very powerful. Okay. Basically, he said that he talked to 29 CEOs. Everyone from, let me see what his name is here. 29 CEOs. Everything from their businesses ranged from $2 million a year to $511 million a year in revenue, these 29 CEOs. And he said after interviewing them for hours upon hours with what's been going on, he categorized them into three types of CEOs based on the language that they used in their interview. There were the fear-focused CEOs. This is the group that was the most emotional, the most overwhelmed, and the most concerned. There was the unfocused CEO. This is the group that's still uncertain on what to do. They're playing the wait-and-see game, and they're very dismissive of what's happening around them. And then he said the third category was strategy focused CEO. This group is the most focused on taking what is given and using it, and still focused on growth and opportunity. This is from a business coach. His name is Todd Herman. And he said that the one thing that separated the strategy focused CEO, which is what we all want to be, from the unfocused and the fear focused CEO, he said mainly you could tell by the language they were using. The fear-focused ones were always watching social media and the news. The fear and unfocused ones were always using negative words and focusing on why things are bad and how they're going to get bad and how much worse they're going to be. The fear-focused and unfocused ones were saying things that they were talking about. What else was it that he brought up? It was just words that had a negative connotation. That was the bottom line. And the strategy-focused CEOs, which I thought was most interesting, he said the strategy-focused CEOs have already adapted, have already repositioned themselves, are looking for opportunity even though they can't find it, do not use negative terminology, not to themselves and not to the people around them. And he said that the one thing that all the strategy-focused CEOs had in common was that they all had a spiritual practice, a spiritual meditative practice, which I thought was interesting. So they have spiritual tools that are grounding them. It could be 10, 20 minutes a day. could be TM, Transcendental Meditation. Maybe even one or two of them studied Kabbalah. But having some kind of tool or anchor, spiritual tool or anchor that we all have, luckily, was what allowed them to stay in the consciousness of being a strategy-focused CEO. And each one of us, even if we're staying at home as a mom, as a dad, as a business owner, as a teacher, as a worker in the private sector, in any way, we are a CEO of our own energetic spiritual domain. And you have to become a strategy-focused CEO right now if you want to shorten the time of judgment and bring about mercy. Everyone's going through judgment right now. And it's necessary because judgment cleanses and it transforms. It's very powerful. It's painful and it's very powerful. But we have to utilize it as much as possible because it's going to end soon. It might end in a week. It might end in 6 weeks. It might end in 6 months. But when it ends, you're not going to have the opportunity anymore. You can do more spiritual work in 1 week now than you could in 7 years. That is so inspiring to me. So even if you physically don't feel well, tired, you have pressure and stress, yes, take care of things in this physical world. I'm not saying ignore them. But make sure every opportunity you can, you have certainty. You have a mantra for certainty. Okay, we're going to have a mantra. We each need to have a mantra. We can type it in the box. I'm going to type in my mantra for you. Certainty. Number two, time. Every minute. Time is a basket. Every minute, I want to put in my basket sparks of light. That these sparks are what are going to create my future. These sparks are going to be the newborn child you're going to have next year. These sparks could actually be the soulmate you've been waiting for, but you finally got to earn it because you had 1 year of spiritual work to do to find your soulmate, but instead you did it in 7 days because it was so hard. Think about it. You can do 1 year of tikkun in 7 days. 7 years of tikkun in 7 days. So if you were supposed to meet your soulmate in 7 years, you can meet your soulmate in 7 days. Now everyone's getting excited with their smiles. Time is a basket. I want to put every spark in there I can. The third thing is opportunity in becoming a strategy-focused CEO of my energetic domain, my home, my business, my body. Be a CEO, my body. Even though you can't go to the gym, even though you can't do your workout, your routine, it's not an excuse to not take care of yourself. In fact, you have to reinvent how you take care of yourself. You have to go to the next level of how you take care of yourself. I mean, look at this. We were doing a Zoom call. We have three times as many people as normally come to class. We adapt, we reinvent, and eventually more results come. I thought to myself last week, who's going to come on a live Zoom call? Who's going to want to deal with that? I was actually the naysayer of the Zoom call. You got to adapt. Final tool I'm going to give you before we go into our certainty mantra. It's going to be a short tool. It's part of seeing the good. It's part of seeing the good. Is gratitude. And I know it sounds cheesy, but every time you start to say thank you, that's my mantra. I just say thank you. Thank you. I say thank you to the table. I say thank you to, you know, it's easy to say thank you for the kids and the money and the whatever. I have a home. I have a whatever. Thank you. Thank you. I'm saying even the small stuff. I say thank you to my cell phone. I say thank you to my backpack. I say thank you to my glass of water. Saying thank you to physical objects in this world. And every situation that comes up, thank you, thank you, thank you, you're actually revealing sparks of light in the physical surroundings. So I need as many sparks as I can get to go on my basket. So everywhere I go in my home, I just say thank you. I say thank you to the celery. I say thank you to that tissue box. I say thank you to the other tissue box. I say thank you to, I mean, as many times as you can say thank you. Thank you to the clothes. It's an accelerated gratitude to elevate sparks of light from the physical world. And that's what the Kabbalists say. Every time you appreciate something in the physical world, you connect to the good side, then you elevate a spark of light. And we need as many sparks to go into our basket as possible. So let's conclude tonight with the mantra that we all are going to use, our certainty mantra. It can be our certainty mantra or our thankfulness mantra. But it's got to be something that for your soul makes sense, you resonate with. For me, it's, I know that everything comes from the light of the Creator. This is what I always tell myself all the time. This is coming from the light of the Creator. This is also coming from the light of the Creator. When somebody's trying to hurt me, or I think somebody's trying to hurt me, this is also coming from the light of the Creator. So that's my mantra. I'm going to type it here in the box. If anybody wants to type their mantra in the box to inspire others, I think that can be great. Wow, such beautiful stuff. After you guys write your mantras, I'm going to tell you a secret about your mantras. Based on what you wrote as your mantra, there's a big secret here I'm going to tell you. Wow, these are beautiful. So I'm going to tell you a secret about what you wrote as your mantra. Keep writing. Whatever you wrote, the opposite of is your tikkun. So for example, if a person writes that their mantra is I am enough, it means that their tikkun is that they always feel that they're not enough, or that their only job in this world is to know that they have the light of the Creator in them. And that if they achieve that state where it's second nature to feel that way, then the greatest blessings will come to them. So like, for example, if I wrote, this is also coming from the light of the Creator, this is my mantra, it means that my tikkun in this world, which makes sense, this is now that I found myself on this path, is to get to a place where I believe and I know, second nature, that every single thing comes from the light of the Creator. And that's probably why my soul came to Kabbalah, because there would be no other way, no other tool in the world, no wisdom in the world that can help me understand that everything comes from the light of the Creator. I mean, to really know it, not just to intellectually think that, oh, God controls the world. So if someone writes that my suffering was good for me, right? Somebody just wrote my suffering was good for me, means that they came to this world to never be a victim. No victim consciousness. So we can actually look at our mantra and work backwards and see how it relates to the soul, the seed soul level of our tikkun. Seed soul level of our tikkun. All right, everybody. I want to say that it was amazing having you all on. And I know we have a couple of announcements. We're going to meet back here next week at the same time, go over more consciousness and deeper content. It's going to be the most powerful time for all of us. Let me get here some announcements here for you. Okay. Well, only one announcement. Well, actually, no announcements. No announcements. No announcements that are necessary for tonight's class. So everybody, connect to all the sparks of light that you can, because soon all this chaos is going to be over and you're all going to be upset. You're not going to know where to get all the sparks of light anymore. You're going to be like, oh no, bring all the chaos back. All right, everybody. Have an amazing night. Sleep well. And let's go fight the Satan.